Well, good to be here. Everybody sleep good? How many are still tired? Yeah, it's camp. You have to be tired. That's part of the rules. Part of the rules. Philippians chapter 3. It was kind of funny watching you guys come in this morning. Girls got here about, 10, 15 minutes early. Had their books out, memorizing verses. And then about 9:02, the boys show up. How many girls have some verses memorized? How many boys have some memorized? That's a blessing. Yeah. I see. See, there's a reason they mix ducks and bucks, boys and girls, because if it was girls against guys, it would be a blowout. I'll let you decide who would win. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be in the theme verses, the ones that you should be memorizing. Philippians chapter number 3, and I thought it would be good for us. And one thing I want to say I really appreciate about the way your pastor and youth leader put the focus on the spiritual things. A lot of camps I'll go to, they're so interested in the games. And then they'll set aside maybe 5 or 10 minutes and expect God to do something with those 5 or 10 minutes. And it's so important during this time to realize that it's not just about the games. Praise the Lord for the games and fellowship and friendship and all that is so important and wonderful, especially within a church family. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It goes to our spiritual growth. And what a wonderful theme, teens on target. I think we would all agree, if you don't know what you're aiming at, you probably won't hit it. Everybody agree with that? That was deep, wasn't it? I went to college for that one. Philippians chapter 3, if you've got it, let's go ahead and stand, and we'll do this each service for the reading of the text. Philippians chapter 3, and let's start in verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let's pray and then we'll be seated to get into the message. Lord, we're so grateful for this group of young people that are here. I thank you for the attitude that has seemed to be witnessing in the spirit. And Lord, I thank you for the families that encourage these kids to be here and for this church and investing in their lives. And we pray that it not be in vain. I pray that every heart will be open. May we enjoy the games and the fun. And then, Lord, also during the preaching, may our hearts be open to whatever you have for our lives. We love you, we thank you, and in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Guy went on a... Wow. Musical chairs. Guy was going on a hunting trip, and he had all his gear on, and went to pick up his buddy, and... He had his bow and he had his orange vest on and he was ready to go deer hunting and had his, all the regulations, the orange hat, the orange vest, everything good to go. Went to pick up his buddy and his buddy came out with a shotgun and no orange. And, confused him a little bit and so he let him get in the car and then he went to pick the next buddy and he came out in just some casual clothes carrying a fishing pole. And he said, this isn't going to work, guys. And come to find out, they never talked about what they were hunting or fishing for. So one guy thought they were going deer hunting, another thought they were going duck hunting, and another thought they were going fishing. And I think we would all agree that would not be a very successful trip. And the theme of this week, teens on target. If you don't know what you're going for in your spiritual life, it's not going to end well. One thing I've learned trying to serve the Lord is that serving the Lord never happens by accident. A life of holiness never happens by accident. A life of purity never happens by accident. These are things that you have to set your eyes on and determine that there is a goal, there is something that I am striving for. In other words, we have to know the target. We have to know what we're going for and what we're going after. And I think a lot of times, and this is getting into the adult world, but oft times the reason parents run into troubles with children is mom and dad have never had a conversation about what they want out of their family. There's no goals. There's nothing set ahead of here is what we are striving for. Here's what we desire. Therefore, in order to achieve that, we've got to set some things in place in order to make that happen. Does that make sense to everybody? If we're going to go duck hunting, we cannot just get up in the morning, walk out to water, and hope something happens. First of all, you need a gun, right? You're going to need a weapon. You need to know where you're going. You need to know what you're doing. And so as young people, if we're going to serve the Lord, what we've got to do is we have to know exactly what we are striving for. And then when we know what we're striving for, we can put some things in our life in order to make that happen. And I want to look at this, teens on target. If you want to put a title up there, it would be this. Know your target. Know your target. And that's K-N-O-W for you boys. I want to take a look at this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Because there's a key word in there that maybe you haven't had the time to think about it, and it's the word apprehend. What does it mean to apprehend? What does it mean when someone says that an individual has been apprehended? I want to pick on, let's see here, who was it that moved away from me last night? What's his name? Zach! Yeah, come on, Zach. I work as the police chaplain, and I mentioned that last night. And one of the things that you'll hear them say is that the subject has been apprehended. The word apprehend, if you look it up by definition, it means to have control of or to have in possession. So if there's a bad guy, this guy, and as the police follow him and they get him, once they get a hold of him, the police say that we have apprehended him. We have him in custody. We have him in our care. We have him in our hands. We have complete control of him. It would have been easier just to sit by me last night. But this is so important because this is the key word of the verse that we're looking at. I want you to notice, go sit down, don't fall asleep on me. I want you to notice in verse number 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now listen, don't get confused by the sentence structure here. He says this, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want to take this thought of apprehending and the idea of the definition of that meaning to have control of, to have possession of, and to have in your care. I want you to think about what happens when you accept Christ as your Savior. When you finally give in and make Him your Lord and Savior and you give your life to Him, we can honestly say, according to Scripture, that He has apprehended us. He has us in His control. Matter of fact, turn over to John chapter number 10. I want you to look at a few things here in this verse. John chapter number 10. And look at verse number 28. And this is Jesus explaining what happens when a person trusts in Him as their Savior. He says this, "And I give unto them eternal life." Aren't you grateful for that? "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man..." Now listen, this is what Jesus says. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, would we all agree if he says no man can pluck them out of my hand, that means when we get saved, we are in his hand. And then he goes on in verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So I want you to understand what happened when you gave your life to Christ. He says, "You are in my hand." Jesus says, he says, "Not only my hand, but my Father, God, who is greater than all, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I think we would honestly be able to say that we are apprehended. Would you agree with that? That we are in his care, we are in his hand, we are in his possession, we belong to him. We've been bought with a price, and he has us in his care. If you turn also, not only do we see Jesus has apprehended us, we're in his hand, God has apprehended us, we are in his hand. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I hate to have you use your Bible so much at camp. Ephesians chapter number 4. And look at verse number 30. So I want you to see what happens when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we really give Him our life. Jesus has a hold of us. God has a hold of us. And then we come down to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and he says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are," what's the word? "Sealed unto the day of redemption." Isn't this an amazing picture? He says, not only does Jesus say, "I have you in my hand," and God has you in his hand, but the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you until the day of redemption. There's no getting out. There is a protection there. They are apprehended just as a law officer would apprehend the subject. When we willingly give our life to the Lord, he has complete control of us. He has apprehended us. He takes care of us. He protects us. He provides for us. And then we go on. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we'll look at one verse here, and then we'll get back to our text. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, he says this, "Who are kept by the power of" who? God. So here's this picture that is painted. When we accept Christ, he says, no man's able to take him out of my hand. God, he says, no man's able to take him out of my Father's hand. The Holy Spirit has sealed us, and that is protected. That is, we are kept by the power of God. Aren't you glad we're not kept by our own power? But we're kept by His power and His strength and His might. And so when we give our life to Him, we are completely apprehended. We're in His care. So back to Philippians. We understand that Christ has apprehended us. We understand that He has a hold of us. We understand that He cares for us and He loves us and He certainly blesses us. He says, verse 12, he says, "Not as though I attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after." Now, I want you to notice the goal. This is the target. "That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." The goal is this. I want to get a hold of God the same way He has a hold of me. I want to love Him the way He loves me. I want to care for Him the way He's cared for me. I want to be willing to sacrifice for Him the way He sacrificed for me. He says, there is this goal that I have as the author is writing this. He says, I understand that when I accepted Him, that I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, that I am in His hand, I am in His care, I am in His watch, I am in His protection. Everything about my life is consumed by Him. He says, I want my world to be consumed by God the way I am consumed of Him. Amen. Boy, what a goal that is, isn't it? So many things consume our thoughts and our minds and our hobbies and our desires and our goals of life. What do you want to be when you grow up? How often have you heard that question? What do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? I'll tell you a good place to start off while you're waiting. I want to know Him the way He knows me. I want to love Him the way He loves me. What a wonderful challenge. I want you to notice a few things in this. It's a very personal target. This target of knowing Him, it's a very personal target. Look at verse number 10. He says, here's why I'm going to do this, and here's why I have this mentality. He says, that I may know Him. Would we agree that's a very personal target? It's not so that we can know Him. It's not so we as a collective group can accomplish something. But He says, but I as an individual, I want to know God. I want to know Him. I want to know about Him. I want to know how He thinks. I want to know what He teaches. I want to know how He cares. I want to know how He sacrifices. Everything about God, just as He knows me, I want to know Him. It says that I may know Him. It's a very personal target. But not just to know Him. Verse 10 continues. He says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. If we're really going to know God, we've got to understand that He did raise from the dead, and that He did conquer death, and that He's going to conquer death for us as well. He says, I just want to know God. I want to know everything about Him. I want my mind to be consumed with godliness. I want my heart to be consumed with godliness. Just as I think of this picture of me being in the hands of our Savior and in the hands of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and kept or protected by the power of God, just as it seems like God has consumed His world around me, I want my world to be consumed around Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. The verse continues. He says, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Isn't that interesting? When you want to know God bad enough, you're willing to suffer the way He suffered. It's almost a good challenge of our hearts of how much are we willing to suffer for God. It's easy to read a book and know Him that way. It's easy to step out in faith and say, I do believe in the power of His resurrection. What a powerful God we serve. But there's something that changes when in our hearts we say, I don't just want to know Him, I don't just want to know His power, but I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to stand where He stands, and I want to walk where He walks. And if it means the sufferings of this world, then so be it. I just want to know God. We better know what we're going after. We better know our targets. We better know our goal. There's plenty in this world to sidetrack us. We talked about that a little bit last night. Plenty of things to draw our attention. I remember last year was the first time I went deer hunting with a shotgun, and I don't know, everybody talked about it being fun, and thought I'd try it, and my wife wanted to make some deer jerky, and so I said, I'll be the man I'm supposed to be, go provide for the family. I didn't know really much about deer hunting, and so I did what everybody does. I Googled it and talked to a few friends, got the shotgun, got the shells, and found a place that I had duck hunted before and talked to the owner, and they said, yeah, help yourself. You know, there's deer out here, I think. So I took a folding chair out. I didn't have a stand or anything like that. Honestly, I really didn't want to be there. I'd rather been duck hunting. But I went and sat in a folding chair by some trees, and I'm sitting there. I get out there late, so you know, some things that already happened, I'm sure. And the wind is at my back, which comes to find out that's opposite. Duck hunting, that's the way it's supposed to be. Deer hunting, I guess not. And I'm looking out to my right, and there's this big water hole, and there's ducks just flying over it. And I'm sitting over here by a tree. Nothing I can do about it. Then all of a sudden, to my left, comes something. I don't know what it is. I'm sidetracked. I'm looking at the ducks, wishing I was over there. Something to my left runs and stops right on the other side of this tree that's in front of me. I thought, what in the world was that? So being the good deer hunter I am, stealth, peeked around the tree. It was a nice 8-point buck. It's like, all right, I guess this is how it works. So took the gun off safety, leaned back around the tree, shot it, real nice 8-point deer. I thought, this is silly. What's everybody fussing about? Yeah, that's as easy. And but the point is, if I would not have been sidetracked with the ducks, I would have had a much better shot. Because the real story, I tell everybody I pulled around the tree and I shot and I killed the deer. And that's true. But not with that shot. That thing was probably 12 yards away. I have a shotgun. I can hit a duck flying at 40 yards, but I can't hit a deer standing at 15. I had 5 shells in my gun. I missed the deer. Don't know how. Don't ask. Because I don't know. Missed the deer. It takes off running through a ditch. And I thought, I've already shot once. I'm unloading. Because I don't want to be here anyway. So it comes up out of the creek on the other side. Boom. Shoot again. Thing's still running. Boom. Shoot again. Boom. Shoot again. By now, that thing is way out there, but I don't care. Boom. Shoot again. And because it's fun to shoot. And we'll see what happens. I get upset. I text my wife. I said, you won't believe it, but I just missed it. I missed a nice deer. And then that's when she put back, you can hit a duck at 40 yards, but you can't hit a deer. And so I sent an emoji of some kind. I sat back down thinking I had missed and waited about another 30, 45 minutes. And I told my kids, if you shoot something, I don't care how far it goes, you've got to go get it. I mean, if you're going to kill something, you've got to get it. You don't leave it. And so practicing that, I went out and followed. I could see the tracks where this deer was running and running and running. And about 70 yards from where I first shot when it was easy, I see a big pool of blood. It's like, ooh, I did hit it. And about 6 hours later, I found the deer. And when I did, it about gave me a heart attack because it jumped up and started running again. which was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. I got my gun. It jumped. I mean, probably from me to you, that thing was laying down in the grass. It jumps up, scares me. I'm glad it wasn't a person. Gun comes up before you know it, and I shoot it again, and it did a backflip. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But, you know, things would have been a whole lot easier if I would have been paying attention in the first place, and I probably would have just walked 15 yards and got the deer and been done. But because I got sidetracked, this is so important, because I got sidetracked, my journey ended up being a whole lot longer and a whole lot more frustrating than it needed to be. In the Christian life, if we have our eyes set on the goal and we understand that I just want to know God, I want to know about Him, and I want to know of Him, and I want to know His power, and I'm even willing to know Him through the sufferings that He went through. I'm willing to suffer for His name's sake. I'm willing to stand as the one who says, all the other friends and people I've gone to church with are staying here, but God's called me to be a missionary. We've got to be willing to do that. Whatever the cost, whatever the cause, whatever God's plan for my life, I just want to know Him. Amen. It's a very personal target. And then we see it's a very perfect target. Verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. You know, there's nothing greater than striving to know the Lord. I'll tell you this many times, and your pastor would testify, and I would say the same thing as a pastor. There's many times, even when you're striving to serve God, you have to say like the author said here, I'm not there yet. I've just got to keep striving. I've not made it. I'm not perfect. I've not attained. I'm not everything God wants me to be, but I want to know Him more. So I'm going to keep studying, I'm going to keep learning, and I'm going to give my entire heart, my entire mind, all of my might, all of my strength, everything to knowing God. Because if you don't know your target, and you and your friends don't know your target, then your spiritual picture will just look exactly like the one I painted in the beginning. One going deer hunting, one going duck hunting, one going fishing. There ought to be some unity among the boys and the girls that you hang out with, that we're all going for the same thing. We're striving to serve the Lord, and we want to know the Lord. And I'll tell you this, I have yet to take somebody with a fishing pole hunting with me. Because they're probably not going to help my cause. And we've got to be real careful if we're going to strive to serve the Lord, we've got to be careful who we have in our presence. Stay focused. Know the goal. Think about how much God loves you and determine to love Him the same. And then thirdly, it's a purposed target. It's a personal target. It's a perfect target. It's a personal target. It's a purposed, rather, target. I said it a little bit in the beginning, but you will never be everything God wants you to be by accident. Never. You'll never have a life of holiness by accident. You'll never have a life of purity by accident. You'll never have a life of godliness by accident. You'll never get up in the morning and read your Bible by accident. You'll never get on your knees and spend time in prayer by accident. But when you know what your goal is and you know what your desire is and you have a heart to know God the way He knows you, then you'll find yourself taking steps to accomplish that. I challenge you this week, because this is really not just the theme verse, but it really sets the stage for everything that we want to accomplish. That a group of young people can strive just to know God. Just to know Him more. Just to know Him. In other words, the way He has apprehended me, I want to get a hold of Him. I want to know Him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.